Well, let's take our Bibles to Revelation 16. Revelation 16, the final judgments of the tribulation, part 2. Dive over here in our study here through the book of Revelation. Hope you're enjoying the study. It's been good. I've enjoyed it. I mean, it's heavy stuff. It's difficult stuff in many ways like that. But you know what? It's the truth. It's the truth. It's from God. And these things will take place. And God gives a special blessing for those who hear, who read, who keep the things that are written in this book. The final judgments of the tribulation. We are going to read a couple of verses here, three verses, in fact, beginning with verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for all that we have here, even in this chapter 16. Your righteous judgment poured out at the end of the tribulation period upon wicked man, corrupt people. Oh God, you are righteous and true. You are faithful and good. Father, thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you for providing salvation for everyone who will come by faith to you. Thank you that the blood of Christ covers all of our sin, past, present, and even future. Thank you for that wonderful atonement 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross. That is still good today, just as viable as it ever was. Thank you for your grace and your goodness. Lord, we pray your blessing on this service. We pray that you would give us discernment in the text. I pray that you'd guide my thoughts. I ask that you would fill me and guide me with your Holy Spirit. Father, that you would accomplish what you want in this time, in each heart, in each life, whether it be those gathered in the sanctuary here before me or whether it be those who are joining in online, whether live or even at a later time. Father, I pray that you'd stir their hearts as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The final judgments of the tribulation. Well, last week we saw the first six of these bowls, vials, as it's called here in the text. These bowls being poured out, which are full of the wrath of God. Notice chapter 16, verse 1. It says that the wrath of God, last phrase there, the wrath of God upon the earth is what is filling these vials, these bowls. We saw here, as these judgments were poured out, we saw hurtful and horrible sores on the first plague being poured out there on the wicked, those who took the mark of the beast. And I believe that is the overall target, for this is a time on earth's history when there will basically be zero believers on the face of the earth. They've all been martyred, those who were saved, the thousands from every tribe, every tongue, every nation that were saved during the tribulation time, even in their young Christian existence, they were killed for their faith. And so we find now the wrath of God coming. We're in the end, towards the end of the 7-year period here of the tribulation, and the first bowl being those hurtful and horrible sores. Then you notice in verse 3, where the oceans became as blood of a dead man. The oceans were turned into blood. Then in the third bowl being poured out, the fresh water of the world, the fountains of the world became blood. And then there's the declaration of how righteous God is. Lord, you are righteous. Lord, you have done what is right. We do serve a righteous God. He will do right. He will judge the wicked. Oh, how good God is and how holy he is and how righteous his judgment. Friends, there is no one else worthy to carry out such judgment as is detailed here but the Lord God, but the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the only one who can accurately and faithfully and consistently and righteously carry it out in true holiness. He is the all-wise, all-knowing, holy God. In the midst of this, we've seen also the fourth bowl being poured out, which is the sun being turned up. Boy, this last week we hit highs of in Harvey here of what, 102 or so. You know, we've had several days reaching 100 or over. And it's hot. It's unusually hot for June, I think. I know it's not a record breaker. I understand that we've had some hot days in the past in June, but nevertheless it's hot, but I'll tell you what, it's nothing. This is preschool compared to what the scorching heat of this fourth plague will be, this fourth bowl. It's going to scorch people. Verses 8 and 9 details that. Notice then also the fifth bowl being poured out where there's darkness across Antichrist's kingdom. Notice that in verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. I believe that all of these plagues are compounding, all of these bowls are compounding one upon another. And so you have the scorching of the sun as well. You have the darkening of the sun, where you've got the intensity of heat and radiation, but the lack of light. And then notice people's response again in verse 11. It says they blasphemed the God of heaven. They know where it's coming from. They know this is the wrath of God. That is clear. There's no question there. And they curse God. They curse God because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Then we see the great river Euphrates dried up on the sixth bowl being poured out. This makes the way for the kings of the east to come in more easily as they will gather to the great battle of God Almighty. Notice verse 14. I'll read the last part of the verse. It says, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. I'll tell you what, this is God's day. The day of his wrath is come here in the scripture. Not in our day right now, but here in the tribulation period, specifically the last half, the last 3.5 years, the great day of God's wrath. And at the end of those years, those days, the Lord God is going to return and in battle of Armageddon in the valley of Megiddo. All right, so we see here the unholy Trinity noted in verse 13, actually, these three unclean spirits. That one is the devil, the dragon here, coming out of the mouth of the beast as well, which is Antichrist, and coming out of the mouth of the false prophet. So you have the devil's unholy trinity. All right, the devil is a deceiver. He is a mocker. He is a corrupt individual. And he, in his efforts to be like God, to take over, to overthrow God's kingdom, he has got his own mock trinity. We see that a number of times in the scripture and several here in the book of Revelation particularly. The Bible tells us that the Lord is going to come as a thief, verse 15. In fact, in the first person, God says, behold, I come as a thief. He is going to come at an unknown time. He is going to kill and destroy. We ought to have a holy fear of God. You think about the vision John saw in the first chapter of Revelation. When he saw the vision of the Lord Jesus, it was not the gentle, humble lamb like he came in the manger, like he came to die on the cross. He comes as a one to be feared, one that at his feet you fall as dead. And he is one to be feared. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 6, it says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I want you to go to Isaiah 13, if you would. A little bit after the Psalms, you'll find the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 13. Let's look here, verses 9, beginning. Isaiah 13, verse 9. The Bible says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger. Please notice that verse 9 of Isaiah 13. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. When God judges, it is clear he's coming to judge the wicked. The wicked. And it says here in verse 12 that there will be essentially few men left on the earth. In other words, I believe there are going to be lost people on planet earth even after the tribulation is over. There will be lost people that will enter the millennial kingdom alive, right? Human beings, alive, even though they're not saved. But the particular judgments are going to come on the wicked of the earth. Now, obviously an unsaved person is, everybody's a sinner. But there are going to be sinners entering into the millennial period, human beings. But mankind on earth is going to be rare, like the gold of Ophir, a rare commodity, a rare commodity. Verse 13, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. The earth, notice that, it says, the earth shall remove out of her place. We'll say more about that in a few moments. And so, God is to be feared, to be reverenced. Please consider the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah, if you go to the book of Matthew and go back, Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah. It's only 20 pages back in my Bible from Matthew, just 20 pages back. You'll find Zephaniah. And we're going to chapter 1. Of Zephaniah. It's a short book. I'd encourage you to go there. We'll read four verses from the prophet Zephaniah. The scripture says here, beginning with verse 14, it says, the great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers, or we could say the skyscrapers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung, Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Oh, even the wealth of the wealthy, even the walled, their walled mansions will not save them from the wrath of God. Middle of verse 18, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. This is an applicable scripture to the time in which we're studying about. Consider Isaiah 29 as well. Isaiah 29, verse 6. We'll read one verse. Isaiah 29, verse number 6. The scripture says here, in verse 6, it says, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. Now, in Zephaniah, we read that that fire would be the fire of his jealousy. So consider that in light of comparing scripture with scripture. It says here, with thunder, with earthquake, with great noise and storm and tempest. Keep that in mind, because we're gonna touch on more scriptures that are going to talk about this. So God is to be feared. He is holy, and we ought to reverence him. He is to be feared in the assembly of his saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Even we as God's people should fear the name of God. He is holy. He will do what is right. He will judge the world. Now we saw last week, we saw the map here. Let's go forward to that map of the Valley of Megiddo, which is where, I won't take much time here, but just to come back through here, where the Battle of Armageddon is going to gather there in the Holy Land. And the kings are going to come there. All right, for that, let's go to Revelation 16 and continue here as we look through the text. Revelation 16. We'll pick it up here now in verse 17. With the seventh angel. The seventh angel poured out his vial or his bowl into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne. Notice, it's coming from heaven, from the temple in heaven, which we're told in chapter 15 and chapter 16, that the judgments were coming from out of the temple in heaven. These are emphasizing the righteousness of God. They're coming from his holy temple. And notice this voice now, this great voice. I believe this is God's voice. This is no angel. This is coming from the throne. And no angel sits on a throne. This is God Almighty. And he says three words. Well, it was one Greek word, I believe. But he says three words here in English. It is done. As this seventh angel pours out this judgment. This great voice. Now, this is not the same word that Christ spoke from the cross when he said, it is finished. But they're very similar in meaning. These two words, it is complete, is the essence of the saying here. It is complete. It is done. He's poured out his judgment. This is the very last of the plagues, of all the series of judgments, from the seven seals, through the seven trumpets, through now the seven vials being poured out. It is done. We come to the end of the tribulation time, and this is poured out. We find here what happens on this seventh vial. What happens? Well, two main things. A great earthquake and enormous hail. Please notice, it says here in verse 18, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. This is the greatest earthquake ever. In its scope, in its intensity, so mighty an earthquake and so great. This is a massive, massive global disturbance that shakes the planet to its core. The Bible tells us that the cities of the world fall to the ground. The cities of the world crumble. Consider the book of Isaiah, chapter 13, verse 13. Isaiah 13, And verse 13, we read this just a little bit ago, but I want you to see it again in this light. Verse 13 of chapter 13 of Isaiah. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. The earth shall remove out of her place. The planet will be so shaken that it will change not only the geography, but I believe it will change the climate. It's going to change the climate of the planet. Perhaps it'll be a more of a pre-flood type of climate, which is certainly more fertile. I don't know exactly, but things are going to change. God is going to so shake things up. Well, what else is going to happen? The Bible says here, look at verse 19. It says, and the great city was divided into three parts. Now, what is the great city? Some think, well, it's Babylon, which is going to be spoken of in the chapter 17. In chapter 18 following, it's going to detail the destruction of Babylon, both its the religious side of the mystery Babylon as well as the economic, commercial side of Babylon. But I don't think it's Babylon at all. I believe it's referring to Jerusalem. Notice chapter 11, verse 8 of Revelation. Would you go back to chapter 11 and verse number 8? What is this great city? It just is called a great city. It's not named specifically, but in chapter 11, verse 8, this same city is clearly Jerusalem. Verse 8 of chapter 11, and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city. It's speaking of the two witnesses. The two witnesses. They're going to lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom. Now, why would it be called spiritually Sodom? Well, I think you can figure that out because of the vileness, the corruption, the immorality. And Egypt, spiritually, it's called Egypt, which again, for a similar reason, the corruption, the worldliness, and all of that. Where also our Lord was crucified. No doubt this is Jerusalem, where our Lord was crucified. And so here it is called the great city. So that leads me to believe that the great city spoken here, which divides into three parts, is none other than Jerusalem. So chapter 16, verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. The cities of the nations fell in this earthquake. I believe that emphasizes this is a global earthquake. The whole globe is shaken to the point where it's moved out of its place. The tilt on its axis will not be the same, I'm assuming. And other things. All right? So let's consider that. I want to take you to the three of the top 10 earthquakes that have happened back over here. This here, I'd like to just share a couple things to give you some perspective. So here is an earthquake in southern Chile in 1960, May the 22nd. And it is known here as the strongest earthquake ever registered on the monument magnitude scale. And it says here, it is to date the most powerful earthquake ever recorded in Earth's history, 9.5. Its resulting tsunami affected southern Chile, Hawaii, Japan, the Philippines, eastern New Zealand, southeast Australia, and the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. Aleutian, thank you. The Aleutian Islands in Alaska, okay? And then that is number one on the list here, and I'm not going to read all the casualties and that kind of thing, but I'm going to go on to the second earthquake, which is this picture right here. So here we have the Alaskan earthquake. This is at a 9.2 in 1964, March the 27th. In 1964, Alaskan earthquake was a megathrust earthquake that began at 5:36 p.m. Good Friday, March the 27th, 1964, across southern Alaska. Ground fissures, collapsing structures, and tsunamis resulted from the earthquake, causing only 143 deaths. It was the most powerful recorded earthquake in the U.S. and North American history. I'll read down a little bit more. The shaking lasted only 4 minutes, Landslides in Anchorage caused heavy damage. Huge slides occurred in the downtown business section. And water mains and gas, sewer, telephone, electrical systems were disrupted throughout the area. A 4-minute earthquake. Now, I'm just giving you some of the, because the Bible says this is an exceedingly great earthquake, right? This is bigger than it's ever been and global in nature. Here's the third one, which is the last one I'll share with you, but this is perhaps the most deadly earthquake in history, and it's recent history. You might remember it. This is the Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami, magnitude of 9.1. 227,000 deaths on December the 26th, 2004. 2004, Indian Ocean earthquake was an undersea megathrust earthquake that occurred at such time on Sunday, December 26th, 2004, with an epicenter off the west coast of Indonesia. The earthquake was caused by subduction and triggered a series of devastating tsunamis along the coasts of most landmasses bordering the Indian Ocean, killing over 230,000 people in 14 countries and inundating coastal communities with waves as high as 98 feet. It was one of the deadliest natural disasters in recorded history. Indonesia was the hardest hit, followed by Sri Lanka, India, and Thailand. Now, the scripture says that there's a bigger earthquake coming. And it's in the seventh bowl being poured out. The globe is going to be so shaken that all of the cities of the world will fall. God is going to totally, totally devastate the kingdoms of this world as Christ will come to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. Let's continue here. First of all, back to verse 19 here in our text, chapter 16, verse 19, middle of the verse, it says, not only that the cities of the nations fell, but it says that Great Babylon came in remembrance before God. Great Babylon comes up in remembrance before God. Now, what is being referred to here? I believe we'll look at this slide. In our Daniel study, in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in his dream, he dreamed about these different kingdoms, which I don't have time to go into. You'll find it on YouTube in our Daniel study there. But the Golden Age, which was Babylon, the Babylonian kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar was said that he was that head of gold. And the different main kingdoms leading up even to when the Lord Jesus walked this earth. And those were main kingdoms of this world. You know, really, when the Bible says here in verse 19 that Great Babylon came up in remembrance before God. God remembered all the kingdoms of this world and their corruption, their idolatry. And that all is coming up before God in remembrance as he's destroying the kingdoms of this world. Literally, the cities are shaken to pieces, piles of rubble. In fact, it says further here, that every island fled away. Please notice, I realize I missed something there. I'll come back to that. But let's consider verse 20. It says, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Wow. Every island fled away? The geographical reshaping of the planet. This is immense. This is huge. This is major. Just before Christ returns and sets up his kingdom, he dozes the earth. This is not the new heaven and the new earth. No. This is when he comes to set up his kingdom. He is going to his millennial reign, going to be a very different time on planet Earth, and some very interesting things. All right. A restructuring of the planet. Okay, I want to go to a scripture that I missed here back in Zechariah, and we're going to go to the Mount of Olives picture, and that's Zechariah 14. You could say, where is Zechariah? Well, if you start at Matthew, it's just two books back. Malachi, Zechariah. Chapter 14. We want to read some verses here, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." So here's an indication that all of those kings that are going to be gathering, which will gather in the Valley of Megiddo, it seems that they're coming in hatred for Israel in particular. And that's one reason they're gathering there, because Israel still represents God, because they are his people. And verse 2 says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet," verse 4, "and his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives." And here in the slide, you have a picture here of the Mount of Olives currently, today. And the Bible tells us that the feet of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is going to stand on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. "And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Ezul. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah." It's referenced in Amos 1:1, incidentally, that other earthquake. "And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints," hello, "shall come with thee." Oh yes, this is the return, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll continue here, drawing to the end of our passage. All right, let's go back over here to Revelation and chapter 16. Revelation 16. So it says here in the middle of verse 19, it says, "To give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." The earth will so be shaken that mountains that were landmarks for thousands of years from the flood will not be able to be found. Gone. "And there fell," verse 21, it says, "there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven." Notice where it came from. "Every stone about the weight of a talent." Now, apparently, there's some uncertainty of how heavy a talent is. The Jewish talent was 114 pounds. The Greek talent was 56. Either way, these are big hailstones. And it tells us that every stone, not just a few of the bigger ones, every stone was about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God. Now here we have what I found just in a quick Google search of what the biggest hailstone we could find, which is, it weighs just under 2 pounds, friends. Just under 2 pounds. The biggest hailstone in modern recorded history. 2 pounds. And we have hailstones here that are likely going to be around 100 pounds. They'll be devastating, immense, unbelievable. This was in South Dakota, and almost 8 inches across. This is in the pouring out of this judgment. These hailstones will come falling out of heaven. And men, it says in the middle of verse 21, will blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Friends, these things will happen. God is telling us the future. He's laying it out there with great detail. These things will happen. We see the confirmation in other books of the Bible, which many of which we've turned to, and seen all of these details. This is what God will do. You know, do you know whose side you're on? I know these are horrible, these are awful, but this is good. God will judge. God will righteously judge. You know, for us to recognize that if we've trusted Christ, we're in the family of God. We're not under the wrath of God. We're not under the judgment of God. We're under the goodness and the grace of God. We are heirs. We are His children. We'll rule and reign with Him. We are the saints. Oh, this is joyful, all that God has. Oh, we can praise Him and glorify Him. I was going to read some verses in 2 Peter, which talks about all these things being destroyed. And there's more than I have time to go to there. But you know what? Do you know the Savior? Is He yours? Have you trusted Him by faith? Oh, friends, in our own record, we are under damnation on our own record. It is only by the blood of Jesus Christ that a person can be saved. By trusting Jesus, by calling on Him, He will save even the worst of sinners. Oh, friends, do you know Christ? Oh, those joining online, do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you trusted Him? I hope that these judgmental details will encourage you, will help you to recognize the seriousness. Judgment will come. Our God is holy. He is good, though, as well. Oh, thank God for what's in store. God's in control, and I will trust Him. Will you?